She work hard for the money. Matt Mungle and Brian Kluger. I don't know. I'm just glad to do a radio show with you once again. It's just so amazing, and there's so much to talk about. There's so much that's happened, and I miss you. I love you, Matt Mungle. Oh, my God.
You know what there is? I feel like there's been so much to talk about that we didn't get a chance to talk about. And now, you know, it's like now there's more stuff to talk about, so we can't go back and talk about the other stuff. So, you know what? All that said, it's just good to be back together doing a show. And we got a great one for you this time. We're going to obviously look at the box office. We're going to look at the new Thor movie. We're going to break down some things that are happening in Hollywood that just have me disturbed a little bit. We're going to talk about Blu-rays. We're going to have some tech news. All this great stuff that you've come to know and love about the show. So nothing has changed. It's all as if nothing ever happened. It's, I don't know if that's good or bad.
There's all sorts of stuff to talk about with that has changed and what's not changed, and that's what we're gonna have. That's what we're gonna talk about today. Well, that and a few other things, I guess.
Yeah, and we should catch up. Did you have a good Halloween? I don't think I've talked to you since Halloween.
I did. I watched a lot of horror movies. You know, I always like to watch The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. That's one of my faves. So yeah. I like to watch that. And, you know, a few other good horror movies here and there. So Halloween 3 was watched for sure. And what about you? Did you dress up this year as a Greasy Strangler? I can't remember.
No, I didn't. I have a five-year-old. Dude, he loves Halloween. This was his year to just embrace Halloween. So he was a cool little robot, and so we did some trick or treating. But like the 2 weeks leading up to Halloween, or maybe even longer, like I'd pick him up from school, and he'd be like, "Hey, can we go to the Halloween store?" He'd love to just go and just look at the Halloween stuff and all the big mechanical things. And so we did the normal trick or treat thing, and I didn't dress up this year though. I don't know why. I just didn't, because I think I was just living it through him because he was having such a blast. And so it was a good time. So, yeah, you know, Halloween is, you know, it's just one of those holidays that it's getting bigger and bigger. And speaking of horror films, Jigsaw, number one film right now, was $16 million. Is that surprising to you?
I called that. Everybody said, no, Jigsaw's not going to. On this show, everybody said Jigsaw's not going to do anything. I was like, it's going to be the number one movie.
And what is
it?
Say that,
it is
you?
The number one movie. I know my Saw movies.
You did say that because I remember because we were like, nah, it'll do well because it's weekend, but we didn't think it'd be number one. But again, I mean, it's only $16 million. There wasn't a lot to beat.
Hey, it was $6 million above anything else that came out that week,
which still doesn't say a lot. But I tell you what, we're gonna take a small break. When we come back, we are gonna break down the box office a little bit. We're gonna talk about the new Thor movie because I think we've kind of got an inkling of what each other thought about that. We got to enjoy the screening together, so I think I know what's going on in your head about Thor. So we're gonna talk about that plus some really cool tech news. Brian's gonna break down some comparison if you're looking to do some cool stuff with your home theater system. We're gonna talk about that. And just the way you watch stuff at home. And we're going to talk about Blu-rays and DVDs because one of my favorite films of the summer is coming out on Blu-ray, even though it didn't do well at the box office. So we're going to take a small break, come back and talk about all that right here with Matt and Brian on the show. Sweet.
Hey, I like this. We haven't lost our banter.
I didn't figure we ever would.
You know what? For next Halloween, you need to go as Eddie the Head.
Eddie the Head Welch from...
Isn't that his name, Eddie the Head, the Iron Maiden, or am I fucking that up?
Oh, that Eddie the Head. Yeah, I thought you meant Eddie Head Welch from used to be with what was that metal band?
His name's Eddie the Head, right?
I always just heard him called Eddie. I never called him the Head.
Did I just add that? I'm looking this up right now because
you like when we went and saw Iron Maiden.
Yes, Eddie the Head, absolutely Eddie the Head. Also known as Eddie the Head, the British. Yeah, you had me doubting myself. How dare you, sir?
No excuses.
No excuses. Oh, you're so handsome. Look at you. You're all well coiffed, and you've got your button down shirt. Shit.
I don't have pants on though.
Oh. Prove it, sir.
That's a segment three.
Okay, segment three. Okay, good.
That's going to tie into what we talk about in segment three. All right, let's see. You want to bring us back?
Sure.
In three, two, one.
Welcome back to our lovely, lovely show. We're finally back. Matt Mungall, Brian Kluger here, bringing you all the latest in entertainment. And we have tons to talk about, such as the box office. I called it. Nobody else did. I called it. Jigsaw. Like, the eighth Saw movie was number one at the box office. I'm very happy for that.
Yeah, you know, you need to remind Preston and Susan of that you did call that. Because that was many shows ago.
That
and
was.
You were like, yeah. We were like looking forward to what was coming out, and you're like, that's going to be number one. And we're like,
I'll send a text.
Because I actually thought, because it came out the same week as Suburbicon, and I was like, there's no way that Jigsaw is going to beat Suburbicon. Where's Suburbicon? Let's go look at the bottom of this list to find Suburbicon.
Yeah. So what did I want you? Oh my gosh. Do you remember what I told you about Suburbicon in the text messages? Do you remember what I said?
He's about to lose his mind.
Because Matt and I text throughout the day and evening and after the witching hour. And he was really looking forward to Suburbicon because it's like Matt Damon and George Clooney. And I was like, nobody wants to see Suburbicon. And nobody did.
I actually got up our text conversation. Here's exactly how it read. Starting with me, my text to him, I said, hey, you doing Suburbicon tonight? Ryan's like, ha, no, my review for all that will be worst movie ever. And then I said, well, you're so old and bitter. And you said, not even the Coen brothers will save that movie. And I said, we will see. Well, at least I will. And you said, ha, text me your thoughts afterward. And I said, you wish. And you said, you're welcome, which is our normal kind of
I'm answer. So glad you had that memorized. Oh, my gosh.
And the next day, you're like, was I right about Suburbicon? And I said, well, the man who doesn't see can neither be wrong or right. I don't know what I was thinking there. And you said, I just know I'm right, and I'm waiting to hear you say it. That's what you said. I said, oh, okay, you think you're right, Happy. You're like, I want the truth. And then I went into something about being Matt Damon's character for Halloween. So then we got into this whole thing about, we went into Holotropic Thunder text. Our texts are like, there should be many novels that people can check out at the library.
This is so good. I'm so happy about this. Oh, by the way, okay, so on the box office, what came in second for the second week was Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Madea Halloween.
Right. And it's been out 2 weeks and it still came in at number two.
Correct. And I just want to say that I saw our fellow critics interview with Tyler Perry himself. And have you watched it yet?
Susan's interview? I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, Susan Kamyov interviewed Tyler Perry, and I absolutely watched it, and it made my day because she got Tyler Perry to somehow say in the interview, you know, it's not Schindler's List. He said that in the interview, and you don't know what that made me feel like. Like, it made my whole week.
Oh, I've got to go watch that. Yeah, because Susan has that ability to bring things out.
Oh, that was so great. Yeah, it's no Schindler's List, and that got me thinking. Can there be a Madea's List? I want it. I want it.
It'd be a short list because she don't save anybody.
That's true.
How you doing, present?
Oh my God, this is so much fun. But yes, Jigsaw was Halloween. It's number one, of course. Nothing else comes close.
Yeah, and then Geostorm, which I don't know why Geostorm is like only bringing in like $5 million a week. Happy Death Day, which it's like Groundhog Day for horror fans. I'm not surprised there. And then we had those other ones like Thank You for Your Service and Only the Brave. Ugh. Those are like two of those war films that came in. Or Only the Brave was about the firefighters in Arizona, I guess. And
get
then,
out of here with that stuff. Nobody wants to see that.
I know.
Give
me
Geostorm any day.
Yeah, because it's like you turn on the news and that's all you see. It's like I want to go to be entertained. Those heavy depressing, and we get a lot of those this time of year because of the Oscars. But man, it's just too heavy. I just don't like watching it.
Yeah.
But Blade Runner still there at number four. And yes, you were right. Suburbicon, a horrible, horrible film. It deserves to be at number nine with only $2.8 million. It was. I walked out of there just hating life. I had such high hopes for this film. Matt Damon, George Clooney, the Coen brothers.
Listen to your pal Brian. He knows a thing or two.
No, you got lucky with you. You nailed this one, but I just don't push it.
Oh goodness!
What was it about this movie that you just knew off the top of your head it wasn't going to be good?
It looked terrible. You have Matt Damon and George Clooney who don't know what they're doing anymore, really. It's ridiculous. Nobody wants to see this movie. They need to have fun with their movie.
That's not a review. That's not even There's no grounding to that.
Yeah.
That's bitter old sentences.
It is. Because nobody wants to see it. Nobody did.
I wanted to see it, but then everybody was talking about how bad it is afterwards, so nobody else wanted to see it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
And I was going to be Matt Damon's character for Halloween. I decided not to because it was so bad of a movie.
Well, I'm sorry you liked it. Well, let's talk about what's coming out this week.
Yeah, we got to talk about Thor. We'll probably get into it a little bit and then continue our conversation. But you and I went to see it. We saw it on the IMAX screen
and 3D.
Huge. Before we get into Thor itself, let's just talk about that aspect. Does seeing something in IMAX and 3D help elevate the film?
No. Hell no.
You think it usually is a deterrent?
Yes. 3D is awful, terrible, bush league. IMAX is fun. I like IMAX. But yes. 3D is wasted on pretty much everything.
That's not animated.
I don't even like animated. Like, there's maybe one movie that was good animated, but I don't need it. I'd rather see it in 2D and on IMAX. I don't need a 3D movie. The best 3D movie that came out in the last several years was Jackass 3D.
Because
it really was.
This is why I don't take your word for things when you're talking about Suburbicon being bad, because Jackass 3D is, in your opinion, the best 3D film.
It was the best 3D movie. Everything's flying at you. It's good. But with Thor, it's just a money-making thing. It's like, oh, tickets are already like $55. Let's add another $30 for, 3D for no reason, because it wasn't filmed in 3D. It's just it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed it, and I'm actually going back this weekend to see it again in 2D. So I'm going to get a comparison of how it stands up in 2D on a major screen, but I'm kind of interested to see that. But I heard you chuckling a lot sitting, a couple seats down from me at the screening. I think you enjoyed Thor a lot.
So you heard me I remember one really big audible laugh in the movie. One big audible laugh. And I will say this. I like Thor. There are problems with it. But I enjoy it. They finally made Thor fun. He has personality now, and he has great comedic timing. But the one scene, what I liked about this Thor Ragnarok, is the relationship between Thor and Loki. They're brothers, and they got to tell stories of them growing up. Like when Loki disguise himself as a snake and Thor loves snakes, and it just turned out bad. Oh, that made me laugh out loud. That was really like a great little bit, and it was a throwaway gag, but it was just so funny. It was good. There was heart, and like Thor was always like the serious kind of Shakespearean character, but now he's just like, he's super fun, and not everything's like the dark world. It's like pastel colors and Jeff Goldblum as a guy named Grandmaster, who's a DJ, Grandmaster Flash. That's amazing. I had a good time with it. It was fun. It's a little too long, but it was fun.
Yeah, and we'll talk in depth more about what made it fun after the break, but I will agree with you the fact that it was fun and it was light, and we lost some of that Shakespeare in the Park that we usually have gotten with the Thor films, and even some of the Avenger films of late have been a little bit too humorless for me, and it was good to get back to the humor. So we're going to break it down, find out what was funny, what really worked about this, and maybe what things didn't work. As you're here, Matt Mungall, visit me at mungallshow.com, along with Brian Kluger at boomstickcomics.com and highdefdigest.com. Take a small break, come back, talk some more about Thor, plus what's going on in Hollywood, Blu-rays, and more right here on the show.
By the way, at the screening, I liked your Irish goodbye.
What does that mean?
I mean, you just got up and didn't say anything and left.
Well, it's the middle of the movie. I don't want to just start talking. People are watching the credits, and it's still dark inside. I don't want to be rude and go, hey, see y'all later.
Hit me or something. Be like, peace out.
All right, I'll do it next.
The Irish goodbye. He just gets up and just doesn't even look your way. He doesn't give you like the goodbye nod. He's like, I'm like, well, there he goes.
Got my bag and left.
He left.
Wrote down my comic card. Gave it to Scott and hit the road.
You missed the two sequences at the end.
Yeah, well, I'll see them this weekend because we're going to go back and see it. I'm going to hang around for the rest of it.
Okay.
This time, now that I know there's something there. So.
Oh, it's a Marvel movie. There's always something.
Yeah, well, it's not always good, though.
Well, the last one at the end of the credits is stupid. I would say you don't need to see that, but the one, you know, mid-credits is the one you'll want to see.
Fair enough. All right, let's see. 3, 2, 1. And welcome back to the show. Having so much fun this week. Matt Mungall, Brian Kluger with you. Great to be back together talking about movies and entertainment and Blu-rays and all this good fun stuff. Talking about Thor releasing this weekend, Thor Ragnarok, which I wasn't really, I had no idea what a Ragnarok was until the movie. So now I know what that means. And so it's very important. So did you know what, I guess because you're a comic book guy, you knew what Ragnarok was, right?
Yeah, I did. I've read, you know, the history or whatever that was when I actually had the comic book store. And it was displayed well on the big screen.
All right, fair enough. Well, we talked in the last segment, you mentioned the fact that this is a fun film. There are a lot of laughs. It reminded me, and I even tweeted this, I said I could see the people who produced the new Thor movie sitting around going, hey, did y'all see that Guardians of the Galaxy movie? We need to do that. Because it felt that kind of humor where you would be in what you thought was a serious moment, but it would just do a 180 and just throw some random comedic moment in there that was brilliant. And it reminded me a lot of Guardians in that way.
Yeah, I think in the what I said in the review was something similar. It was like, this has a very Guardians feel to it. You know, the characters, they're fun, they're engaging. You want to hang out with them, whereas at other times in other Marvel movies, you really didn't. But this had like a closer home feel with like the brothers and the sibling rivalry and stuff like that, which I liked.
Yeah, and you hit on that too. I liked the relationship between Thor and Loki. We get a little bit of that in the earlier Thor films and some of the earlier Avenger films, them kind of ragging on each other. But it did feel like just two brothers who just kind of grew up loving each other, but just on the opposite sides of the tracks and just not really knowing how to connect as brothers, you know? And so there was a lot of humor there. I just thought it was fun. I thought this is the first time in a Marvel Universe film, other than Guardians of the Galaxy and Deadpool, which I laughed a lot. I felt like, I mean, I know everybody loved Civil War. I know everybody loved the last Avengers Ultron movie, but they all just seemed so dark to me. It was like Marvel forgot how to, not forgot completely, not anywhere near DC, but just stopped being funny. And I think this brought back a lot of really solid humor, which I think it needed.
Correct, yeah. And you got to see, you know, Bruce Banner and Hulk, you know, actually talk as the Hulk and have like comedic moments too. Like they're real people. You could identify with them. And that's what was missing from Thor for so long. And now, holy God, Chris Hemsworth, perfect comedic timing. Who knew? He's great.
Yeah, he's married and I got a kid. Of course he's going to know how to do all that, I guess. I don't know what that means. So now what did you think? Because the Hulk is in this. This isn't a spoiler alert. The Hulk is in this film to an advantage and a lot. I didn't quite like what they did with the Hulk as he was the Hulk because he just seemed, I don't know, too cartoony to me. Because in the Avenger films, when Banner turns into the Hulk, it's mayhem and it's uncontrolled mayhem. I just didn't care for Hulk in this one much. I mean, I didn't hate him, but there's something about it wasn't Hulkish to me.
I don't know. Like, yeah, there's that aspect, but it seems like he had like a groove and he was Hulk for so long that I guess he just got used to, you know, settling down as the Hulk. And I like that. I like seeing like kind of just Hulk kind of like just walk around and not just go crazy. I don't know. It was fun. It was a different side of it. So, and that's what this movie is. It's like different sides of the Marvel Universe you haven't seen yet. And I think you'll be satisfied with it.
Yeah. And I thought it looked brilliant when they went to all the different worlds and just the color and just the epic size of things and how they created the sets and the CGI and all that. I thought it looked amazing.
Oh yes. Oh yes. For sure. For sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that again, Thor out this weekend has to be a must see. So obviously, it's going to be number one at the box office, don't you think?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
we
got to shut up and out. Yes, that is a yes. So yeah, so check that out this weekend. I'm going to go back and see it again in 2D and just see if it loses anything. I don't think it will. You mentioned it's a little too long. What would you have shaved? Because it's just right at 2 hours. It's not like epic long.
Yeah, it's like 2 hours and 15 minutes or so.
With credits.
Was it with, I guess, with Chris? Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, I think it could have been a little less, because there's a few parts that dragged, and, you know, some of the humor you've seen before, but it's fun to see it in a Thor movie. But yeah, I think it could have been tightened up a little bit.
But I don't know what I would have taken out, because I'm thinking of it in my head. It didn't feel long, like Captain America Civil War felt really long to me. That final battle, Age of Ultron felt so stinking long when it gets into those final, and usually all Marvel films, when they get into that final epic battle, it just feels way too long to me. But I never felt that in this one. I never, even in that last battle, you know which one I'm talking about, where everybody's there together, it didn't feel like, oh wow, we're finally here, but now we got to get through this.
Oh yeah.
I don't know, I just liked it.
Oh, and you were talking about Matt Damon earlier. Did you like Matt Damon in Thor?
I did. I won't give any more away of that. I told my wife, I was like, that was one of the funniest moments with Matt Damon and the other Hemsworth in yes. this movie. It's one of my favorite scenes in the film. So yeah, bottom line, Thor, a must see, whether you see it in 2D or 3D, IMAX, however you want to see it, get out and see it, because if you'd kind of given up on Marvel, I think this will get you back in camp. We're going to take a small break, come back with some other things we're going to kind of talk about that's totally in a different vein, plus Blu-rays, DVDs, Tech Talk, all right here on the show.
Ooh, it's so nice.
It's so nice to remember that song.
What are we talking about now? What are we talking about?
We'll split segment four, and we'll talk. We'll start with the sexual assault stuff, and then get into Blu-rays to kind of end on a hyper note.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll do like 3 and 3, so our 4 and 4 minutes.
All right.
Because there's not a lot of Blu-rays to talk about.
All right, and I'm recording this on my end too, so if you want to do like an overtime Bill Maher style and talk about whatever else after the show that we didn't get to or whatever else is on our mind, we can.
Okay.
For a little bit, so.
All right, we'll see what we don't get to.
Okay.
So far, we on track.
We on track, man.
On it. Okay.
Jump on it.
Wiki. Okay. Welcome back to the show. Matt Mungo, Brian Kluger here with you, talking about all kind of great stuff. Good to be back together. It's been a few weeks since we've been doing shows off and on, but not really in the context of being together again. So it's really good to talk about that, talking about Thor and all the great stuff coming out this weekend. Check out mungoshow.com, boomstickcomics.com, High Def Digest for all that cool, groovy stuff. We're going to talk about Blu-rays this segment to end on a happier note, but to kind of talk about something a little bit heavier that I think it's worth bringing up, because we're seeing this, all these sexual assault allegations that are just bombarding us, especially if you're on social media, you see just anger and bitterness and you want to, I don't know. I mean, Brian, how are you taking in all this that we're seeing from Hollywood? And you used the word allegations, which is right. We're seeing tons of allegations, some warranted, some obviously not even warranted. If you're in the Jeremy Piven world. But what do you take of all this? I mean, where's this coming from?
So it all started basically with Harvey Weinstein, and right. Yeah, the dude had a good run. He needs to pack up his money and go to an island, not come back. but since then, it's everybody's come out of the woodworks. Every single day, every afternoon, every evening, every morning, I get updates on, oh gosh, somebody slapped my ass like 30 years ago, sexual assault. And then after that happens, it's a witch hunt. Everybody is, yelling and cursing and everything. And the thing with Kevin Spacey, which really blew my mind, and I hope this is not the president, but it seems like it is. So Anthony Rapp, an actor who was in like Adventures in Babysitting and Rent and the new Star Trek show, said like 30 years ago, he came on to me. He rubbed up against me when I was younger. And Kevin Spacey at the time was like in his mid-20s and drunk. And it's just kind of like, okay, so he said that out loud on social media, which I think is a horrible dick move. And then Netflix canceled the best show they had, House of Cards, because of this allegation. Like, just from somebody said, Kevin Spacey wasn't proven guilty. It was just like somebody said something and they canceled it. And my thought is, there's several thoughts, but one of the thoughts is like, could not Anthony or these people just like contact these people, because they're both in the same act, you know, we're only hearing about the acting, you know, the actors and celebrities, but couldn't they call one another and say, like, hey, you did this to me a long time ago, I feel uncomfortable, instead of, you know, just publicly announcing it? That's, I think that's terrible. And then with the witch hunt, nobody cares. It just, whoever says something, you go after them with pitchforks and fire things. And it's getting really unsettling. And now the fact that Netflix has canceled this show, you know, what if something happens with somebody with Stranger Things or, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm or Westworld? Are they going to cancel that too just from an accusation? I don't get it.
Yeah, and that's what gets me, is because Kevin Spacey even came forward immediately and said, you know, I don't remember this at all. I apologize. And then, but it didn't matter. You're right. It's like, and in our society, Netflix has to. Netflix is like, if we don't do something, everybody's going to just knee jerk reaction. And I don't think Brian, and I'm going to speak for Brian here, neither one of us, we're not saying that sexual assault or any of this stuff should be overlooked. We're not saying that at all. But it's the context of how you do it. If something is said in an interview and then that interviewee or interviewer goes out and just publicizes it and takes things out of context, and then like Brian said, things just escalate and get so out of control that you get – Kevin Spacey's career is pretty much over.
I mean, Which is terrible. He got awards taken away, and it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. And I look at it from my career. I'm like, okay, 30 years ago, I was 20, 21 years old. This was all pre-Jesus. I was. There's no telling what in the world I did as a 20, 21-year-old who was just constantly partying and drinking. I probably did a few things that weren't up and up. I doubt very seriously it was with a 14-year-old, but you know what I mean? I probably said some things. It was the 90s. Everything was crazy. So for somebody to go, dude, you did this 30 years ago, and I'd be like, okay, I'm sorry. That's not who I am now.
Yeah, but obviously, not to tell you, but to just blast it over social media in a public
forum. Yeah, not to even email, but just go out there on Twitter and say, oh, yeah, I saw that Matt Mungo's got a show. You know what he did when he was 20 years old and I was 20 years old? Yeah, he grabbed my butt in a bar. I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I don't know. So what, am I supposed to just give everything up now?
Yeah.
I think that's there's a difference between one-offs when you're young and stupid than to being somebody like a Harvey Weinstein, where it's a character trait of yours, where obviously that's two different things going on here between Kevin Spacey and Weinstein. Two totally different worlds that these people are living in.
But there's, you said, like, Dustin Hoffman was in it, and Jeremy Piven's in it, and Brett Ratner, and, you know, it's tons of people. It's like every day something's happening, and it's just like, okay, so why can't you just call this person and talk about it? And then when everybody jumps on somebody, it's kind of like, wouldn't you just, like, want them to get help? Like, yes, you accept it, let's get help, and we're there for you. I don't get where all the hate's coming from, because I think it's like the end thing to do.
It is the end thing to do, and you're right. It's a very – social media is not a place to trial and judge and jury and convict somebody. It's the worst place in the world to do that, is on social media. And we've seen a man who I hope his – and integrity and has changed. We've all changed. I mean, how different were you 20 years ago?
Oh,
how different was I 30 years ago?
No, it's absolutely.
It's totally different, you know? It's just very concerning. And I love what Jeremy Piven said. He's like, hey, this is BS. And what's sad about this is the fact that this is BS is going to take away from the next guy who posts something that's true. It's like people just making up accusations are going to deter from the fact of somebody who comes along with a legitimate one.
Right.
So people just need to just calm down and quit trying people in social media. Pull somebody aside and say, hey, you know, this is what happened.
Yeah, I do think, like, it's a good talk. Like, we're finally getting all this out in the air and open. There's a different way to go about it. I'm glad the talk has finally started, but this is the wrong way to go about it, you know? And it's sad that it's going on like this.
It's very junior high and high school. It's very, oh, you know what this girl did to me in the hall. It's almost childish to act like this on social media, especially when you're dealing with somebody's livelihood and career that you're just running through the muck. And like I said, I'm not taking away from people who are guilty of this and should be brought to light. And, you know, people shouldn't be able to live in the shadows and do these horrendous things. But I don't think they're all what we see in the media.
Yeah, and like to cancel a show like that, how many people were working on that show? You know, it's like, it's crazy. Like, yes, if they found him guilty of tons of stuff in a courtroom, I guess you'd have to do something. But like, just from somebody online saying something, it's crazy. So I hope that doesn't, it's not a thing, and it just, somebody can say anything about somebody on a show and then immediately it's canceled. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's near, you said it, knee-jerk reactions are horrible.
Yeah, they are. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to take another small break. When we come back, we're going to get to Blu-rays really quick and some other tech news, because Brian's got some things he's going to break down in the 4K world that I'm really interested in. So we're going to take a small break, come back with more right here on the show. Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, man. I like signed off of social media. Like, I haven't posted on Twitter or Instagram in a long time, and I have stopped on Facebook as well.
Yeah, you almost have to get to separate yourself. I had to do that during the election. I had to get away because people were just insane, man. Yeah. It was just insane.
I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah. All right, so let's do this in 3, 2, 1. And welcome back to the show. We're going to take a small breath here, and because, I mean, it's right. This stuff needs to be talked about because we can't just take for granted what we're seeing on social media and everything else. So Brian made some good points, and it's stuff that, you know, needs to be talked about and on both sides. Yes, if something happened, it needs to be brought to the light, but not in the way that it's been lately. So on a more breath of fresh air, happier, more serene idea, Cars 3 out on Blu-ray DVD. I loved this movie this summer. It was one of my favorite movies of the summer. Tanked at the box office. I don't know why.
And this just
such a beautiful G-rated film.
To remind everybody, Matt and I thought this was going to be the biggest film of the summer.
We did. We thought this was going to be the one that Wonder Woman. We were like, Wonder Woman, maybe Cars 3, but I'm not sure. Not even close.
Not even close, man.
Jigsaw is going to beat Cars 3. That's how bad it is.
But yeah, and Cars 3.
It was such a good movie, man. It was the end of the trilogy. It was such a great, beautiful story about Lightning McQueen coming into his, you know, the limelight of, you know, his golden years, and it looked great, had funny characters, it was in the car genre, rated G, we don't forget those. What happened? Why did this thing not do well in the box office? And is it going to do better on Blu-ray? Is this something that people are going to watch more on Blu-ray than they would have in the summer theater?
It's a beautiful film, and I think so, because a lot of, you know, kids will want to see Cars 3 and like it, and I gotta tell you, there are 4K UHD with the HDR. Is fantastic. If you have a 4K player, highly recommend getting the 4K version, not just the Blu-ray, but the 4K version. That also comes with the Blu-ray. It looks and sounds amazing. Highly, highly recommended for the looks and sound of that film.
Well, is there any special features on the new Cars 3?
Oh, yeah, tons. I mean, there's the short film. There's the story of Cars 3, like all the generations of cars. There is a lot deleted scenes. There's audio commentaries, you know, a bunch of stuff. Like Pixar film. So, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I like it. And if you love Disney, what Disney does on their digital version, if you go to mongolshow.com, we're actually giving away digital copies of Cars 3. So if you want the digital version, you can take anywhere through Disney Anywhere, Vudu, Movies Anywhere, any of that. You can go to mongolshow.com, and we have digital versions out there for you to win of Cars 3. One of my favorite films of the summer, regardless of what the blockbusters and the blocks office, the blockbusters.
The blocks office and the blockbusters.
Yeah, any of that. Regardless of what they say, one of my favorite films of the year is Cars 3. And then The Glass Castle. Did you ever get around to seeing The Glass Castle?
So I haven't watched it yet, but I have my copy. And I'm going to see it. It's not in 4K, but it is Blu-ray, digital HD. You know, it's Woody Harrelson, which a lot of people think are going to win an Oscar for this one, but Woody Harrelson,
he's on my list to vote for best actor.
I could see him winning for RXC, not see him because I haven't seen it, but I can see him if he gets nominated for this and also nominated for his supporting role in War of the Planet of the Apes, because he was so good in that too.
Oh, he was good in that, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Glass Castle, one of my favorite films of this genre, of the book to screen, because it was such a powerful book. I remember reading The Glass Castle and going, how could this possibly have happened? And yeah, they did some things with it, made it a little lighter. The movie's not nearly as heavy as the book was, but I really enjoyed that. So Glass Castle, if you didn't see it in the theater, highly recommend you getting a copy of this on Blu-ray or DVD. PG-13, great acting, fabulous story, and I really do highly recommend Glass Castle.
Yes. And I want to, as we're talking about Blu-rays and stuff like that, I like to bring up Criterion.
Always.
From today through the end of the month, Barnes & Noble is doing their 50% off Criterion sale. All Criterions are 50% off at Barnes & Noble now through the end of November.
And it makes them almost affordable.
No, so that makes them basically $18. And then if you have the Barnes & Noble's membership card, that's an extra 10%, so it's 60% off. So each movie's like $16. In the Criterion world, that's amazing. And one of the ones you should pick up for sure is Barry Lyndon, finally on Criterion Collection, Stanley Kubrick Classic. It is amazing, must own. But go to Criterion Barnes & Noble section, Barnes & Noble Criterion section, and stock up.
Very cool. We have to do that. Now, if you love watching stuff at home, enjoying things at home, whether it's Blu-ray, DVD, 4K, Apple TV now has a 4K. Amazon Fire TV has a 4K. I've always been an Apple guy. Should I stay an Apple guy in the 4K world, or is Amazon giving it a run?
Amazon Fire TV 4K is most definitely 100 billion% one of the worst things you can buy.
I was nervous for a minute. I was like, whoa, what?
Do not. The only way you would probably want to buy an Amazon Fire TV 4K is that if you have, if you're already, you know, neck deep in Amazon stuff at home, like, you know, your Echo, you know, anything else. Even then, I would say go with an Apple 4K TV. The Amazon Fire TV 4K missed the mark by literally a continent. And it's very unfortunate, both in physical design, setup, and execution. It is a complete poop show.
No, but now that said, Apple TV 4K is still brilliant, right? Because it's Apple.
No, not because of Apple, because it does well. So, I mean, I would say Apple TV 4K, when it came out, I got it, you know, day one it came out. It lacked a few updates that, you know, software updates that they will be doing before the end of the year. But on a level, like, that's the way to go. It's probably your best streaming home option right now is the Apple TV 4K, and it's relatively inexpensive. Amazon Fire TV 4K is very inexpensive, but, ooh, man, it is, like, the worst. Like, set up – so if, like, you sign on and you see everything, the whole picture is a jumbled mess. Like, all your apps, scrolling through everything, like, you know, hundreds of things – it's really bad. And then all since it's Amazon, they're really trying to sell you on Amazon products. So like every other few seconds is an Amazon ad. It's awful. They need to do something because they, like a big update because it's not good.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm gonna stick with my Apple TV then. I don't have the 4K. I don't make Brian Kluger money. So I still just got my old unable to be updated Apple TV, but I'm hanging in there and hanging strong. We're going to take a small break. When we come back, I have to admit, I don't know anything going on in the wrestling world because I haven't hung out with Brian on the show here in a while, so I don't even know if there is still such a thing as wrestling, but I have a feeling we're going to find out in the next segment right here on the show.
Oh, it's so funny. I was like, I don't want to bash Amazon Fire TV 4K, but I got to bash Amazon Fire TV 4K. I was real excited about getting that. And
yeah.
It's so,
in this day and world, you can't release anything that's horrible like that. You just can't.
And like the unit actually just hangs from the back of your TV or your thing. Like there, it's not like it's really like it literally dangles on a cord. That's the only way. It's so weird. And how it's set up, like the apps. You know how like Apple TV's like, you know, has all these categories and stuff like that. That's not Amazon TV. It's like all on one. So it takes forever to get to something, and there's no like full screen mode, so it's all just horizontal scrolling through everything. And it's like,
that's horrible.
Yeah, and like the genres and categories are terrible. And then so like which would have been cool with the remote, because you have the Alexa, but you have to press the button to talk to it. Whereas on like the Echo, you just have to say it. You don't have to press anything.
Right.
So it's just kind of like you just have to press the remote, like the click. Alexa, what is this going on? Ugh, it's so annoying. It's really bad. I don't understand.
Yeah.
They missed the mark.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you got to test that stuff. You can't just put it out there. But I'm like, I guess people who are just, that's all they've ever had is their Amazon Prime people, and they've always watched Amazon TV, and they don't know anything different. They just assume that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, like if you're steeped in Amazon stuff and like an Amazon diehard person, and you want to upgrade to 4K, I guess that's the way to go. But I'd still go to Apple, because Apple before the end of the year will have the Amazon Prime app. So I mean, there you go. Yeah. You don't need the Fire TV. Okay.
Horrible.
Boo.
I still like Amazon Prime though, dude. I'll order something tonight and I'll get it tomorrow.
No, dude.
Can't beat it.
I have Amazon. I've been an Amazon Prime member forever, and I even do their mobile truck app. Do you do that?
No, I don't do the mobile truck app.
So they have this thing where they have like this, you know, food truck type of thing where you can sign up on Amazon to get alerts on where it is, and if it's in Dallas, they sell one item and it's like the hottest item at that moment. So like a few weeks ago, that, you know, that Super Nintendo thing they were selling, it just pops up and they're like, we'll be at this location in Dallas, you know, from starting at 2 p.m. This is what we're selling till we sell out. It's a cool deal. So like, it's like all like the new hot stuff for the moment. And yeah, if you go to Amazon.com, you'll see like Amazon mobile truck or Amazon truck or whatever. Sign up for it and you'll get a text every time it's in town. You can see what they're selling.
Done and done. Gotta do that. All right, let's do this last segment.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to mention this in this segment. Hang on.
Okay.
Welcome back to the show, Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger with you. Been a great show, man. It's so good to be back talking about Blu-rays, DVDs, all this good store stuff and everything going on in the movies, and just be back with my buddy Brian. And you know what? I miss the show so much that, as you know, you listen to the show whenever you listen to it. We usually record it sometime during the week. We're recording this on a Thursday night. I'm actually missing Project Runway right now to do the show. That's how much I miss doing the show.
You're welcome.
They're in there right now. They're in the top five. They're going to get down to the final four to see who goes to Fashion Week. They're making, you know, snow, very great fashionable snowwear, and I was willing to give that up to come and do the show.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me.
Because you know I love Project Runway.
I know you like Project Runway. He ain't lying, folks. He ain't lying.
Lying or dying. So let's talk about wrestling. I assume wrestling still happens. We haven't talked about wrestling in forever here on the show, but is it still happening?
It is still happening, and the third or fourth biggest pay-per-view of the year is coming up next week.
What's that?
Survivor Series.
I don't know what that means.
Survivor Series, one of their biggest brands, like their 26th Survivor Series in 26 years. Like, they do it every year since, like, basically the beginning. In 26 years. It's going to be in Houston, Texas, at the Toyota Center, November 19th.
Are you going?
I am not going, because I will actually be in Denver, Colorado, doing a bar mitzvah.
Nice.
Yeah, amongst other things in Colorado. I don't know what else there is in Colorado to do, but other things. Yes, you know what I'm saying?
There's one big thing in Colorado to do.
Yes. Survivor Series, a huge thing. And now since, you know, Raw and SmackDown are their separate shows, this is going to be a Raw versus SmackDown pay-per-view, which they kind of did several years ago, maybe 15, 17 years ago, something like that. But yes, you're going to have Brock Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal or AJ Styles. We're just not sure yet, but it's going to be one of the two. I bet you it's going to be Jinder, but Brock Lesnar, he's coming back. And then you're going to have The Miz and Baron Corbin. Interesting. Enzo Amore and Kalisto. You're going to have Kurt Angle, Braun Strowman, and Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura. It's going to be so crazy. It's because not all the matches are determined yet, but I'd imagine within the next week they will be announced. But it is a big deal. So yes, Raw superstars and SmackDown superstars are battling it to the bitter end. They're invading each other's shows weekly. So yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Well, I know in the movie world, I mean, with Oscars coming up and all that, this is the end of the year is always huge for movies. Does wrestling ever have a, does it have a peak time and a non-peak time? It seems like they're always doing something. Like every couple of weeks, like, oh, we got a big pay-per-view. We got this. We got this. I mean, it's because there's so much going on in the wrestling universe that it's just 24/7, 365.
So, you know, like the biggest thing is WrestleMania in April, but also January is a Royal Rumble. And whoever wins the Royal Rumble gets to go onto the main event for the championship at WrestleMania. So kind of like January to April are like big deals. Because anything can change in that time. And then, of course, you know, SummerSlam's a big deal, but not as big as this. And Survivor Series is just a lot of fun because this will really set the stage for WrestleMania, but this will probably set the stage for Royal Rumble, which then goes to WrestleMania. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Fair enough. Stuff. Always something. Well, in this last minute or so we have, I have to ask because we have many. Did you binge watch Stranger Things, or are you just doing it a little bit at a time?
So I think I'm on episode 6 or 7 of season 2, and I am loving it so far. So I think I have like 2 or 3 episodes to go, but I seriously am loving it.
Most people I've seen, I don't know, because we loved the first one so much that everybody was so anxious for this that they can't say anything bad about it. But everybody's saying it's better than season 1.
Which... Yeah, because they it's like Thor Ragnarok. It's they're having a lot of fun with this one. Like there are a lot of really genuine funny moments and like the kids being kids. It's not all dark and crying and brooding and stuff like that. There's actually some really fun, you know, coming of age young kid type stuff in here, and it was really great to see that.
Very cool. Well, go check out Thor this weekend. Jump by mongolshow.com if you want to try to win a digital copy of Cars 3. And as always, my friend Brian, it's always good to hang out, dude. It's been too long. And great show today. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Visit mongolshow.com. You can check Brian out at boomstickcomics.com plus highdefdigest.com for all that great stuff, plus the wrestling podcast, all the stuff that Brian does all the time because he never sleeps. And we'll come back and do this again next week. Bye.
Bye, I miss you. All right, that was a fun show.
It was a great show, man. It was a good time.
It was good. We're on overtime, too. So is there anything that you didn't get to talk about or anything you really want to say that talk about for a couple minutes?
No, I guess I'm excited about Murder on the Orient Express. That's coming up here. Yeah, I'm excited about this. I've been excited since the first trailer.
Yeah, me too. And a lot of people didn't like that first trailer. I really loved it. And actually, I think... LA got to see it yesterday, and people seem to really like it. You know, they said like there's like two characters they love more than the rest, but they said it was maybe a pointless remake, but still nonetheless a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's what I want is just the look and the feel. I know that all the actors did the junket a couple weeks ago, and everybody talked about the set design and the costume. So I think it's going to look cool and be fun and kind of throwback. But yeah, when you put that many actors and characters together, you don't know what's going to happen. But I'm excited about it, man. I just want to see it. I just want it.
You just want it.
So. Yeah, and you got Daisy Ridley and Josh Gad and Johnny Depp, and you know that's a good cast. Kenneth Branagh.
It's good. It is good. I've got to bring up something that I went to recently. I went to a concert and I went to see the Beach Boys at the Majestic.
It'd be nice. How was it at the Majestic? If you're not in the Dallas area, the Majestic is this old theater downtown that is so cool. So if you're going to see the Beach Boys, it seemed like that'd be a place to do it.
It was. So like Mike Love is like pretty much the only member there, really. But you know who played with him the whole time, sang guitar and drums?
You know, I saw a post on that, but I don't remember who was it.
John Stamos. John fucking That's Stamos.
Yeah,
that dude needs an EGOT, an Emmy, a Grammy, a Tony, and an Oscar. How has he not had one yet? Because that dude is handsome and talented.
Because they don't give EGOTs out for handsome and talented. They give it out for mainly talented.
Oh my gosh, he's amazing. He's a good actor, and he's a model.
Let's don't push it.
But it just brought the Beach Boys concert to another level when John Stamos came out with them.
Sure did.
So, I don't know. Do you like Beach Boys?
I do, but I'm old school Beach Boys. I mean, I grew up on Surfing USA and Help Me Rhonda and In My Room. And
oh, yeah. So they played all that because it was kind of like their Vegas act. I mean, you know, like Brian Wilson's not going to do that at all because he's like the musical genius of everybody. But, You know, this was like, you know, it was like a Vegas act. They had like a couple like palm trees out in Surfboard, and it was like all the hits. And they played like literally over 40 songs, but you know, back then most songs were like a little over 2 minutes.
Yeah, they're like 2 minutes and 15 seconds. And,
yeah.
And it's just like the song's over. We're done singing now.
But yeah, it was really cool. It was cool to see all that and John Stamos. So I was just was real excited.
Yeah, that is good times, man. Yeah, Beach Boys is one of those that I just kind of grew up on. Now, obviously, they were before my time, so I got them on the second wave of, you know, listening to my parents' records and stuff. But yeah, it was cool, man. Good. And yeah, I'm sure Majestic Theater was a cool place to see it.
Yeah, it was. I like seeing things at Majestic Theater. Even though their drink prices are insane, my God, for a double whiskey it was like $20. It was crazy.
Yikes!
Oh my goodness. But yeah, I like the Apple 4K TV. And then I'll say that tomorrow, you know, because we're recording on Thursday, Friday, I will actually get the iPhone 10.
Really?
So hopefully for the next show, man, I'll be able to talk about how horrible or how amazing the iPhone 10 is, because it's the first time they've actually changed the iPhone in a very long time, even probably since the beginning. Yeah. So
now, are you an iPhone guy?
Yeah. So I've had well, that's not true. I've had iPhone 1, 2, 3, and then I had, I think, they have the 4 or the 5, but then I did the 6 Plus, and now I've just waited every 2 years. So I had the 6 Plus, I didn't get any of the 7s, and now, you know, 2 years later, the iPhone 8, which is the same thing as my 6 Plus, basically, or the iPhone 10, which is completely changed. So I'm curious on this wireless charging, I'm curious on the facial recognition, I'm curious on, like, not the home button, but the whole screen covering thing. Well, I'm curious. And I got the 256 gig phone, which I have the 64 gig one right now, and I feel like I get to put my whole entire movie library on this new phone.
Yeah, dude. I mean, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's like holy. Because like I don't even think I use half of my 64 gig right now. I was like,
no,
just for a couple hundred bucks more, you get 256 gigs from 64. That seems like a good deal. And so I don't know what I'm gonna put on there. Maybe you can just send me all your pictures you take, and then I can just put them on my phone.
All right, yeah, you'll be my cloud.
Are you upgrading? Are you an iPhone guy?
Oh, I've always been an iPhone guy, but I'm an old guy, so I don't upgrade my phone until it completely breaks. Like if it gets run over by a car, like I love iPhones. I've always been an iPhone guy. I never go to Samsung or any of that. But, and most of my family all have iPhones, but I don't have to have the newest and latest greatest iPhone that comes out. I like my iPhone. I have like the 5S, I think.
Okay.
I was like,
5S?
Okay.
No, the 5S. No, I
think that's what I have. I'm looking right now. Yeah. I got is it the 5S or the 6S? Did the 6 make an S?
Maybe. I'm trying to remember because I have the 6 Plus. There was a 6 and 6 Plus, and then maybe after that.
I think I have the 6S, and my wife has the 6 Plus. I think that's what it is.
The 6 Plus is like the giant one.
Yeah, yeah, and I have a 6S. Okay. So I think so. Yeah, but you know, I'm not in any hurry to get an 8 or a 10. I like my iPhone. It does everything I need it to do.
All right.
So, you know, what I hate, I'm glad that you're going to talk about it from an iPhone guy, because I hate when people who are totally all they've ever had are Samsung phones or, you know, like Google phones or something, and they try to review the iPhone. It's like, well, you don't know how iPhones are supposed to act anyway.
Yeah, so I'm curious on, like, just if they've actually even updated anything software-wise or if it's just kind of like a physical thing. So I guess we'll see. But anyway, I was due for an upgrade. And sweet. Then, all right, I have another topic, but if you want to wait till next week, we can.
What's the topic? I'll tell you if I want to later.
Jordan Peele rebooting The Twilight Zone.
Oh, I saw that on IMDb.
Which I'm very angry about.
Well, yeah, if you're angry about it, let me do some research on it, and we'll talk about it on next week's show. Let me read up on it some, because I was never an original Twilight Zone fan.
So that's my favorite show. Ever. Well,
you would be passionate about.
Well, and I'm not, because I love Jordan Peele. I think it's the only thing that I'm pissed off about it, and we'll get more into it next week, is that it's only going to be for that dumb piece of shit CBS All Access app, which you have to pay for.
That's what I saw, that they were doing it just for All Access. That's what I saw in the byline on IMDb. It was like, because I saw that it's like Jordan Peele reboots Twilight Zone, and I got my attention, but then I saw only on All Access, and I was like, oh, forget it. I didn't read it.
You're like, you pay for CBS already. Why do I have to pay for CBS too?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll talk about it next week once we get more stuff.
I know. Unless somebody comes up and gives some kind of sexual allegation against Jordan Peele, and then we won't ever see Twilight Zone again.
Please no, please no, please no.
All right, well, good times, brother.
That was good times. Yeah, see you next week.